Now, what are the associated system equipment? One is portable ACs also are available where split ACs are there. There can be host systems or there can be evaporative conditioners, especially in case of dry climate, one may use evaporative conditioners, say for example in Pune or some of the parts of Rajasthan where comparatively the climate is dry, then evaporative coolers will be more beneficial to use there. Mont Blanc collect the water in bucket or tray. Air to air version is going to re-evaporate water and it will discharge it through the ducted hose in case of central air conditioning. There are heat pumps also available in case the strong winter is there where you need little bit of hot environment for the patient to be more comfortable. So heat pumps may be there. Here the refrigeration cycle is able to be reversed rather than evaporating cooling. Here it is reversed and hence there is heating which is occurring and it will produce heat instead of cold within the premises of the hospital. And it will be more beneficial and comfortable for the patients and the staff there. There are thermostats available which will regulate the temperature, monitor the temperature. They will control the operation of heat ventilation AC systems. Insulation is required which will help us in reducing the required electrical power to run the ACs and hence the electricity consumption will reduce and hence proper insulation should be there for the AC units as well as for the walls around and there should not be any opening of the windows and door every now and then, otherwise it is going to waste a lot of energy as far as the functioning of the AC is concerned. There can be air filter which removes dust, pollen, mold as well as bacteria. So the air is going to be mostly bacteria free and hence prevention of hospital acquired infections will be there. What are the various issues and challenges as far as the AC system in a hospital is concerned? One is the type of air, whether the filtration and the air cleaning systems, they are optimally functioning or not. Once the AC is slightly older, probably there is wear and tear and the functioning of this filtration may not be adequate enough and hence regular maintenance, preventive maintenance, regular servicing of these ACs and monitoring the air quality periodically to see whether it is effective or not, and if it doesn't remain effective, probably you may have to change the AC system or modify it. Then implement it in existing HVAC system. If you are implementing certain new things in the existing system, probably there may not be compatibility of that, and then also there can be a problem of getting the efficient and effective air conditioning for that premises. There can be comprehensive renovation where what type of air filtration and air cleaning is occurring, whether it is feasible or not. That you will have to find out and then accordingly make the necessary changes in the AC system or HVAC system. As far as the maintenance of the ducts in the central air condition is concerned, at times it can be a little difficult because it's a huge plant and outside there are units where the air, the rain etc. may be affecting that and proper cleaning is not possible. Then air contaminants can be of a great concern for especially the doctors and paramedical staff. In case there are air contaminants where proper filtration of the air is not occurring in the AC system or sometimes the humidification is more, where fungal infections also can increase, and there are certain conditions where the patients, the inhabitants, including patients and their staff, can have a lung condition which is due to the contaminated air that is occurring in the AC system. Then desired level of air cleanliness, whether it is there or not, one has to regularly, periodically monitor to find out what are the pollutants in the air that is available in the area where air conditioning units are working. You will have to do the cost benefit analysis to see whether you need to change the AC system totally or not, or whether you can mend it and still get the optimum air cleaning and humidification required. What is the total life cycle cost one has to consider, and then think of changing if required. Periodic quantitative performance evaluations should be done to know whether the right air quality is there, whether the noise generated is least, whether the humidification is proper or not, whether there are any chances of fungal infections that can occur, or fungal spores are there, and hence one has to periodically evaluate and correct it, do preventive maintenance, proper servicing and maintenance of this AC system. So, AC heating and ventilation systems, if we see, there is centralized AC, direct expansion system is also possible, chilled water system, there is a screw type compressor also available. These are the different types of centralized ACs available. In today's world, there can be air filtration, where HEPA filters may be used, which are more commonly used in operation theater. Then there can be central heating in case of winter. There can be package unit capacity, split AC, window AC facility, central cooling system, and temperature and humidity. Indicators may be available, whereby you know whether the proper temperature and humidification is maintained or not. It will give a different reading or a change in color of that particular indicator, which tells us whether it is proper or not, and if it is not proper, one can do the correction of it by calling the experts in this field and then do the monitoring by periodical monitoring of the air quality and the thermal and humidity readings. After learning about the HVAC, that is heating, ventilation and air conditioning system in a hospital by the engineering department, let's learn about how they are going to manage a very important supply of the whole hospital, and that is electrical supply. Imagine if electricity is not there, how the hospital will run? You need lighting everywhere. You need specialized lighting for ophthalmology department, for operation theaters, for laboratories, and if required in case of radiology and laser therapy also, so physiotherapy, rehabilitation. You need electricity for fans, for ACs. You need electricity for functioning of various equipments. So, electricity is the core. I think without electricity functioning in a hospital, probably you can't treat patients, you can't give any services to the most important customer of you, and that's patients. So, it's the engineers who are responsible for managing this electrical supply in an optimal way, in a cost efficient way, and preventing any breakdowns of that as far as possible, and preventing even the electrical hazards in the form of any electrocution or problems occurring due to the trips, due to any other malfunctioning of the electricity leading to even burns and even deaths of patients or the staff. So, it is the prime function of engineers to see to it that they not only run the electric supply properly, but in case of a power failure also, they should be able to provide us with the help of inverters, with the help of DG sets which are in functional condition, so that the important operations going on at that time, the important investigations going on in the laboratories or in ICUs should not be adversely affected, which can lead to even the increased mortality and morbidity of the patients if they are not taken care of. So, electrical energy is an absolutely essential source of power, the pivot around which almost all the functions of the hospitals are going to revolve. This system is used for environmental control, including heating. Normally, heating of the water also occurs by electricity, electric power, because solar energy is not everywhere available. So, including heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, heating and cooling of water, lighting, cooking, a dietary nutrition and dietetics department, the cafeteria, the restaurant, everything is possible only by the help of the electricity. Refrigerating and freezing of food, which is required for controlling the perishable food to be kept in the optimal condition, otherwise it's going to perish, otherwise it's going to become stale and not edible. Operating all types of medical facilities, in fact, we need proper electricity, electric supply. Without electric supply, most of the machines, most of the biomedical engineering machines are not going to function. Say it is the ECG machine, EMG machine, EEG machine, or whether it is the monitors in ICU, everywhere electricity is a must. It should be an emergency services to supply power to essential as well as critical area of the hospital. In fact, electricians and electrical engineers should be on their toes to see to it that some of the critical services in hospital, especially in operation theatres, in ICUs, in emergency departments, where in case the electricity is not there for 5 minutes also, it can lead to a major disaster. So, they have to keep it functioning 24/7, 365 days a year. Its proper maintenance is necessary for its safety as well as reliability. If you don't maintain your electric sources properly, it can be dangerous because the safety of people is involved. It can lead to electrocution, it can lead to burns, and the reliability of the functioning also will be affected, because if proper voltage control is not there, the reliability of the medical equipments also can be doubtful, in which case you are not very sure about the diagnosis, and then proper treatment cannot be given. Its required emergency generator, uninterruptible power supply, that is UPS, is a must in many of the equipments. For the design elements for electrical system which we are using in a hospital, one is, you should at the design level itself, at the beginning of the hospital construction, you should be knowing what is the nature and magnitude of electrical load that is going to be required to be maintained in the hospital when it is going to be fully functional. What are the various sources of power available to you? What is the cost of electrical power system? Because electricity is a resource which is becoming more and more expensive day by day. So, what is the cost? What is the voltage level required for various equipments? Some of the equipments may need high voltage, especially short wave diathermy, etc. Laser, ultrasound. Some of the imported equipments which are from America and all, you may need a different kind of system for them, where the voltage will be less. What is the circuit arrangement required for various equipments? You will have to find out the most economical size of substance for the electrical system to be operationalized throughout the hospital. You should see to it that you are protecting all the equipment from short circuit. So, the fuses, the MSEBs, etc., you will have to be taking care of. You have to ground. Earthing is very much necessary for all the overcurrent protection. At the same time, you will have to protect your building and some of the portions inside also from lighting. Isolation transformers for operation room also should be there, and it's a complex procedure to be followed. One has to be efficiently knowing the skills of how to maintain that. What are the various functions of electrical and instrumentation services to be taken care of in the hospital? One has to analyze all the power systems used in different parts of the hospital. One should know what is the flow of the load, what are the various energy saving potentials for these power supplies, what is the quality of the power available, and in case there is a system failure which occurs, then you should be able to analyze it and see to it what is the root cause of that system failure and how you can prevent it in future. Otherwise, it can be a major problem for the patient's care. The power system design, when you are doing at the inception of the hospital itself, you should remember that one should have a detailed engineering, one should have a proper plan and specifications throughout the hospital, how much of voltage, how much of electrical supply, how much of points will be needed, some additional points for future requirement also, and based on the type of equipments, based on that, based on the type of radiological protection, etc., one has to take care of, and accordingly the cabling of these electric supply should be done by the engineers, and it should be under the guidance of the AERV as well. That's Atomic Energy Radiation Board. As far as the facility electrical design is concerned, one should know what is the overall lighting system design so that optimal lighting is available everywhere, in the ward, in the corridor, in the operation theater, in the laboratory, wherever is needed. One has to take into consideration the safety of each and every person in the hospital as far as the electric supply is concerned. The equipment and installation specifications has to be properly scrutinized and taken care of to prevent any mishaps. One should go through the bid request and analyze those bids from various vendors that you have got and qualify those bids which are the reputable, reliable, dependable vendors who will supply the right kind of electrical equipments, electrical supply, the wiring, casing, the optimal energy efficient lighting, etc. You have to do the proper design of the whole hospital by input output diagrams, proper network of the plant design should be done so that you know where the main switch will be there, where the different switches will be required to be put, how the casing will be done, or if possible the concealed wiring will be done, and there should be proper relay logic and PLC programming to be taken care of in such a way that there is no loss of electrical energy So proper conservation of energy should occur. At the same time, proper lighting, adequate lighting and comfortable lighting is available to the patients as well as to the medical and paramedical staff of the hospital. One should have a clear document of the existing power system with proper design, layout, etc., where you are able to measure exactly what is the existing load at each point, and one should update online diagrams as and when some or the other changes are occurring, so that whenever in future there is a breakdown, there is a problem of the electrical system, you should have a ready-made clear guideline to be given by these diagrams where to look into the problem and how to sort it out with the minimal kind of opening up of these cables and all. Design expansions to existing power systems, it should be like a modular thing whereby you should be able to expand those things in future. You should check the impact of new system on the existing system, and you should be able to provide the master plan for the whole of the hospital when you are going to change this system. And you have to see the pros and cons of both, and for a future long term plan you have to think of on the requirement of the hospital electrical system. There should be in-house design tools whenever possible, AutoCAD drafting, master database and PLC programming should be available with you, so that it is convenient, timely thing you can do whenever you want to have the functioning of the proper electrical system in the hospital or you want to modify it in future also. Now, this is the intelligent digital variable power supply with LED. Diagrammatically you can see this, and this is the electrical hospital bed available, whereby you can change the angle of the bed, you can make it head low, you can make it leg elevated or leg low, or on the sides also if required. So this is a kind of electrical hospital bed also available, so you can understand the implication of electricity in various functioning of the hospital everywhere, and then accordingly you have to think of making some changes if required. Emergency power supply system, you can see the diagram here where they are showing us, in case there is an emergency where there is a, you require more voltage or more power, then how you can augment this whatever at present you are having, and when power fails still you should be able to continue the supply by the right kind of DG sets, inverters, UPS, etc., so that you can get the unprotected power supply, uninterrupted power supply, whereby your procedures which are vital for the patient's treatment do not stop. So what are the major electrical systems and components? One is lighting, where electrical lamps, nowadays we are using fluorescent lamps or LED lamps, compact fluorescent lamps, electrode-less lamps, halogen lamps and LEDs. So presently we are more using LEDs, whereby the light is very smooth, it spreads properly throughout, and the energy consumption is also much less, and it is conservation of the energy is occurring because of that. So in a long run it becomes cheaper also, and there is no glare and all, and the color of whatever material is in front of you also doesn't get changed to that extent as opposed to the halogen lamps and all, so that there is clarity. It is more useful for, especially for colorimetry, laboratory, etc., where you want to compare the colors. Then there are ballast transformers, power packs, and there are luminaire housing also if required in certain areas of the hospital. So these are the major electrical systems and components required for a hospital. So the electrical engineers should take care of all these things optimally, at the same time they should be energy efficient, and hence in the modern world of sustainability we are able to maintain the optimal supply of electricity. So what are the various control devices as far as the electrical supply is concerned? One is manual control devices are in the form of switches and switching pattern. Various kinds of switches are available and the patterns of the switches are also available. So which is the right kind for you based on your design of the hospital, based on the requirements you can think of, this can be manual. While there are automatic controls also which senses what is the occupancy of this area, and based on that some of the lights automatically are switched off. There can be manual dimmers whereby you can dim the lights, while automatic controls can have daylight sensors. When the daylight is sufficient outside, we are getting sunlight, automatically the artificial lights that is there within your premises becomes dim. There can be preset controls whereby you can give a command to your computerized program whereby it is going to dim according to those commands given. There can be time controls that after half an hour it will automatically dim, or after 1 hour it will dim, whatever time you are set. There can be centralized control management whereby a person sitting at the center, he can have the visualization of all through the CCTV, and he can have the control in his hand whereby he can control this lighting as per the requirement of that, as per the occupancy of that particular location. So what is the preventive maintenance program for the electrical supply? One is creating a plan whereby you can base it based on the various components used in the electrical supply. For switches you can have a separate plan, for fans, for ACs, different components you can have a plan that every Monday you will do this, every once in a month you will do this, like that. Providing necessary staffing where the qualified personnel are available who are highly qualified, competent in their skills. They update their knowledge regularly by going for seminars and workshops. There should be a regular schedule. There should be tests available which tells us that the functioning of all the electric supply is proper or not. There should be corrective actions and preventive actions taken by them, and they should keep the records of when there was a break, power breakage or power failure, in how much time they have corrected, how much time the DG set was running, how much time the UPS was running, what was the inconvenience caused to the occupants of the hospital, etc. So a detail data collection and analysis of this record keeping should be done. They should develop a program which identifies all the specific components. They should prioritize, then consider manufacturer's recommendations when needed. They should be asking the manufacturer also, in case they feel that there is a problem coming up with their manual, they will go through and they will talk to them to find out what else they can do or whether they need to modify any of those installations. They will inspect and test periodically. They will coordinate shutdown with the building occupants whenever needed, so that the periodical maintenance program is done to prevent any major problems occurring in future. They will determine the corrective actions required based on the data that they have collected in their record keeping and analyze them to find out the root cause analysis, and then take the preventive and corrective actions for that. They will evaluate all the results of their implementation of the corrective actions and find out whether they are as per the standards, whether actually this has prevented any more breakdowns or not. And they will update the system by periodically installing newer equipments which are energy efficient, which are giving us better quality of light, which are more soothing to the eyes of the occupants of the hospital, and which may give some additional benefits to some of the diseased conditions, for example jaundice, etc., or which may be helpful in preventing the nosocomial infections to be spread, for example, ultraviolet light, etc. So, this is how the preventive maintenance program can help the hospital authorities to take care of the electrical system optimally, so that it is energy efficient. At the same time, the cost of maintaining electricity is also less, and overall there is a smooth functioning of the hospital which occurs.